This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and it is my privilege today to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life. I'm sure that the message that we have today is going to be a blessing to you. It's also going to be thought-provoking, and it's going to be interesting. So I invite you to stay tuned to our program today. The message today is going to be on the subject of forgiveness. It is program number 180 in our series, program number 180. And at the end of the message today, I'm going to have an announcement which will give you some information on how you can obtain a copy of today's message by cassette tape. So stay tuned to our program. The message will begin right after we hear some special music.
Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. My God said he'd take me higher. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. He saved me from the wind and fire. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Jordan River is chilly and cold. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Chills my body, but not my soul. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning.
Book of Genesis, chapter 38, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, please let me come in to you. For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. So she said, what will you give me that you may come in to me? And he said, I will send you a young goat from the flock. And she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. My message this morning, forgiven to forgive. This, to my mind, the scripture from which I've just read, is one of the most unusual stories in all of scripture. When you go home and read that entire chapter, you'll see that the Bible tells us that Judah, Joseph's older brother, you know Joseph and Pharaoh, Joseph's older brother by about 2 or 3 years, his name was Judah, the fourth son of Leah. He met a Canaanite woman, and he married her. She bore him 3 sons. Their names, the first son, Er. Second son, Onan. And the third son, Shelah. When the firstborn came into his teenage years, as was the custom then, Judah found a girl for his oldest son to marry. Boy, imagine if they were still doing that today. The lady that he found, her name was Tamar. And Tamar was a beautiful woman. She was a paragon of beauty. She was an example of femininity. The Bible says that Judah's first son, named Er, married Tamar. But as you read on, the Bible says that Tamar was not being treated right by Er. He was such a wicked man. God was so pained, ladies, listen to me, by the way Er was treating Tamar, that the Bible says that God slew him, purposely took his life. God was so distant. So brothers, make sure you take care of your wives like you ought to. Amen. God was so displeased with how Er was treating his new wife that God purposely slew him. Then Judah said to Er's brother, Onan, go and sleep with Tamar, your brother's widow, and father a child in your brother's name and honor. This way you'll carry out your responsibility as his brother by making sure he has descendants to inherit his land and to carry on his name. You see, it was the practice in that time that brothers-in-law would marry the widow of a brother who had died. That was the Mosaic law. And I'm sure some brothers saw that as a blessing. And then I'm sure that other brothers saw it as a curse. Now, the brother-in-law could, are you with me this morning? The brother-in-law could refuse to marry his brother's widow, but that was seen as a disgrace and would shame her and her family. So Onan, the second son, married Tamar. But the Bible tells us he was no better than his brother. Lord have mercy. Now, to get one bad husband is one thing. But to have two. He didn't like the fact that Tamar's firstborn would be no credit to him. He was angry, bitter. So he went into sleep with her the night of the marriage. And while consummating the marriage, instead of acting honorably, the Bible tells us that Onan intentionally let his seed spill out onto the ground just so that he wouldn't have to raise a child in honor of his brother. Brothers and sisters, so many times we too as Christians are tempted to act dishonorably when we can't have things our way. You know, we plot, we plan, we connive, we deceive, we distort, we falsify just because we can't get our way. That's what Onan did. Well, Onan's deception and dishonor of Tamar, because of it, God was so displeased. Listen to me. The Bible says that God slew him too. God killed him too. So Judah started out with 3 sons. He's now down to 1 son. And then Judah said to Tamar, now listen here, Tamar. Why don't you go back home to your family, to your nation, and wait till my last son, Shelah, gets a little older. In other words, Judah was saying to Tamar, 2 of my sons that married you are already dead. I have only one son left. Let's hold off on the next marriage for a while. Lest, and the Bible, you can read it. The Bible says, lest he die too, like the other brothers. Tamar did as she was asked. She went back to live with her parents in Timnath. But she had a hard time. See, back in those days, they didn't have the independent women running around singing, "I Will Survive." Are you listening to me today? When you didn't have a husband to take care of you and children, a woman who didn't have that, didn't have someone to love her and honor her and cherish her, that was a dishonorable thing. Well, Tamar waited, but Judah never called. So one day Tamar heard that Judah's wife had died and Judah was coming to do business in Timnah. So Tamar took off her clothes, her widow's clothes, dressed up like a prostitute. She covered her face with a veil, waited to tempt and seduce Judah himself. I told you this was a strange Bible story. Judah had not followed through on giving Tamar his last son, Shelah, in marriage. And so she waited, and I'm sure that the delay was a constant source of bitterness to Tamar. She had no husband to call her own, no children. To all the other men in the village, she was seen as damaged goods. The Bible tells us when Judah saw Tamar sitting there at the gate, he didn't know who she was. She was so beautiful, so voluptuous, so inviting. Judah couldn't resist. Well, he could have resisted. Let's just say he didn't resist. He thought she was a prostitute, not married to anybody. He said to her, "Madam, can I come in to see you? How much do you charge?" I'm talking about a man of God here. Judah, Joseph's brother. This was a man who knew God. This was a man who knew better. But you know, sometimes we truncate our spirituality. And we say, "God, you can have all of my life, but this part is off limits to you. This is my vice. This is my weakness. This is what I do to blow off steam." Are you listening to me? And so we say, "God, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, but my language sometimes is not going to be right. Because profanity, that's my thing.
Come on.
God is Lord over everything, but there's some things that I need to blow off steam." Somebody else says, "I'm mean. That's just my thing. I'm baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm just mean. And don't cross me." Judah didn't realize that he was talking to his own daughter-in-law. She said, "Well," and she must not have done this before, because when he asked her how much she charged, she didn't know what to say. She said, "Well, how much are you willing to pay?" He said, "I'll send you a young goat." Now, hide the meaning. A young goat. She said, "Okay, but you must leave something of yours with me as an IOU, a pledge that you will keep your promise." She was saying, in essence, "I know you, Judah. You don't know who I am, but I know you, and you don't keep your promises. I need an IOU." "Well, what do you have in mind?" said Judah. Tamar said, "Give me your ring, your bracelet, and your shepherd's rod. That'll be good enough." "All right," said Judah, and he gave them to her. They slept together, the Bible says, and the next morning, Judah went on his way. Tamar went home, changed back into her widow's clothes, and a few weeks later, she was pregnant. Meanwhile, Judah wanted his ring back. You know how the brothers are. Are you listening to me? How many times I see this on Judge Judy? It was a gift. Amen? No, he said, I want my ring back. You know the brothers do. They say this was no relationship of commitment. I want my things back. And so he got his goat together. Got Hira, a friend of his, and sent him to get his things from Tamar. His friend reached the city, asked some of the men who lived there where the prostitute lived. They said, no prostitute lives here. No prostitute has ever lived here. Here I took the goat back to Judah, told him, listen, I looked everywhere. I tried everything. But the people said that no prostitute has ever lived here. Judah said, well, forget it. Let her keep my things. If we go around, men of God, looking for the prostitute, we'll make fools of ourselves. So let her keep the stuff. 3 months later, someone told Judah that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, had become pregnant. Well, when Judah heard this, the man of God who sees prostitutes, he hit the roof.
Yes.
Now explain that to me. Judah had no sense of compassion for Tamar or sympathy. He more than anyone knew what she had been through, and he was responsible for some of what she went through. But he instead was angry, and he ordered that two of his men come go with him to get Tamar so that he could publicly shame her and then burn her to death.
That's right.
The man of God. Well, when they got to the house, Judah sent the men in to drag her out of the house, give her the punishment he thought she deserved, but he didn't know Tamar had a trump card. Right. Tamar said to them, look, wait a minute, before you lay hands on me, go tell Judah that I'm pregnant by the man who owns this ring, this bracelet, and this shepherd's rod. Have mercy. The man took the ring and bracelet and the shepherd's rod to Judah, and when he looked at it, he couldn't believe his eyes. He said, they're mine. Leave her alone. I'm the guilty one. I couldn't bring myself to forgive her. I failed. That's when you will read, and that's why you read in the genealogy of Jesus the name Tamar. Well, one day Jesus said, making the same point, a certain man, a certain king, decided to check on his servants to see how well they were doing their jobs. And when he reviewed their performance, he found that one man had embezzled over $100,000. The man spent it all, and it's amazing how fast you can go through a lot of money. And the king, according to the custom, had to confiscate the man's property and sell the man's family as slaves to recover the money. And the servant fell on his knees before the king, begged for mercy, said, Lord, please forgive me. I'll pay you back every sin I owe you. The king's heart was touched. He felt sorry for the man, forgave the man, kept the man on in his job as his servant. The Bible tells us that the same man got up off his knees, thanked the king, went out, found another man who owed him $100. And when he found him, he didn't just ask him for the money. If you read it, the Bible says he grabbed him by his throat and demanded, I'm talking about forgiven to forgive, and demanded his money immediately. Then the man fell on his knees, asked for forgiveness, and promised to pay back every last cent. But the man the king had forgiven wouldn't listen to his pleas, turned him into the police. Police. Threw him in jail until he could pay back what he owed. When the king's other servants saw what had happened, they could hardly believe that this servant who had been forgiven his debt would do such a mean thing. They felt sorry for him, told the king about it. The king asked to see the man who had been forgiven by him. And when he came in, he said, you are a scoundrel. You are lower than the lowest. I forgave you. $100,000 after you promised to pay it back. I even gave you back your job after you had been embezzling me. And you couldn't show mercy, gratitude, forgiveness. The king said, jailer, arrest him, put him in prison until his family has paid off every last cent he owes. Brothers and sisters, having a forgiving spirit, hallelujah, is part of being a Christian. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. But some people are just so mean, even after they've been forgiven. Somebody said, when you're giving people blessings, be careful, they might bite your hand. That's the kind of people we have today. I read about a man who had committed a terrible crime, been sentenced to the penitentiary for life. After he served many years, some of the friends felt that he should be pardoned and liberated. A petition was signed by many citizens around the country. And when he came before the pardoning judge for the interview, the judge asked him a lot of questions. And then he said, I have one last question for you. If you were pardoned and freed, what would you do? The man said, the first thing I would do is kill the prosecuting attorney, the jury that found me guilty. And then I'd hunt down the judge and shoot him too. Well, he was not pardoned. He's still there. But so it is with God. He will not forgive us if we are impenitent. And, oh, you're listening to me, and mean-spirited. Through the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, the Lord empties us. Look at what he does for us. He empties us of all sin, a life of sin, and the conscience that is racked with pain. He gets rid of the fire of guilt in our bosom. What a God we serve. Yes, yes. Because of Jesus, you can walk down the street without a pang of guilt. Mercy. What a God we serve. Mercy. And the man who wants to run and hide from his creator, realizes that he can now sit at his Savior's feet. That's what you can do. That's what I can do. Hallelujah. In our hearts, there will be the spirit of forgiveness and mercy. But God called you who have been forgiven to forgive others. Put on, he says, the bowels of mercy. But you know, sometimes we are so petty. We got our little grievances. The Lord has taken away our trespasses and sins. And we, instead of showing mercy, we hurt people. Help me, Jesus. Our response as Christians should be gratitude. Amen. You ought to be ready and happy to forgive because you have been forgiven. Amen. The forgiven become forgiving people. We forgive others because he first forgave us. Hallelujah. Are you forgiven of all your sins? Do you know that you've been forgiven? One minister who was going to visit a patient in the hospital couldn't find a parking space, so he jumped the curb, you know, and tucked the following note under his windshield wiper. He said, circle this car park for 30 minutes. If I don't see the patient, I'll have to answer to my church council. And then he put, forgive us our trespasses. When he came back, he found a ticket and a note. The note said, I've circled this car park for 20 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll have to answer to the hospital board, lead us not into temptation. The teacher said, Stephen, what must we do before our sins are forgiven? Stephen shot back, little boy, he said, well, you got to sin. Yeah, but thank God, we know from God's word that all have sinned. That's you, me. And sin, the wages of sin is what? But Jesus comes along and wipes the debt away, forgives us of everything we've ever done wrong, cleanses our minds, gives us a free heart and a free spirit. He says, by grace are you saved through faith. Nothing you did to earn this, to justify this forgiveness. And he says, now all I want you to do is go out and forgive others. Get rid of that beam in your eye. And go and be a blessing. Forgive that person who hurt you. We who have been forgiven should be quick to forgive. You know, sometimes the devil will come along and tell you that you've not really been forgiven. But you know when that happens, you ought to rejoice. I said, if the devil ever comes to you and tells you, you have not been really forgiven, you ought to rejoice. You know why? Number one, he's a liar. So whatever he says ain't is not true. So if he says you've not been forgiven, you can know that the converse is what is true. And then if you were not forgiven, he wouldn't be coming along telling you that you're not forgiven. Amen. Because he doesn't want you. Why would he want to tell you you're not forgiven? So you're going to go and get forgiveness? No. He knows you're forgiven, but is telling you you're not forgiven so that you can doubt your Savior's gift. But listen, my Bible says in Psalm 86:5, for thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call on him. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins. I'm so glad that all who are willing to forsake their sins will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God that anything I've ever done wrong has been wiped away. Do you have that confidence today?
That brings us to the end of our message for today, the message on forgiveness. And I do hope that the message was a blessing to you. I hope you understood it. It certainly was an interesting message. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message by cassette tape, please call the Seabrook Church office. The phone number there is 301-577-6342. Today you want to ask for program number 180. That's program number 180, and it's very important that you remember that program number. The phone number, again, at the Seabrook Church is 301-577-6342. This brings us to the end of our program for today. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney, Jr., I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. I hope that you will join us again, though, for another program. But until then, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.